Here in the USA, Veterans Day used to be called Armistice Day. It celebrated the end of World War I. We celebrate it on November 11th, as the treaty between the Allies was signed in Compiègne, France, on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. If I understand it correctly, this same day is celebrated in Britain and the Commonwealth countries as Remembrance Day, a far more dignified and appropriate name. As usual, here in the USA, we changed the nature of the celebration and have turned it into something else completely. But at least we haven't changed it to a Monday holiday. Well, not yet, anyway. I grew up with a great respect for Armistice Day in my house. My grandfather, Grandpa Max, served in the U.S. Navy in World War I and during the Mexican campaign before that. Some listeners may remember that he and I shared our first ever flights together in August of 1969, he at the age of 73, me at 13. My father, Lou, was a World War II veteran of the U.S. Army and was called back to the U.S. Air Force as a retread for Korea. He was rightfully very proud of his service, and I was, and still am, quite proud of him as my dad. He was part of that group of people called the Greatest Generation by newscaster Tom Brokaw. So are most of my mother's and father's friends and family. I was raised by this generation, as well as a generation before that fought World War I. As part of the Greatest Generation, at the age of 18, he was drafted out of his engineering studies at CCNY and landed in England on his 19th birthday. He would have been one of the first to land on Omaha Beach during D-Day, but looking back on it, I suppose he was fortunate to have been injured during the preparations for that invasion, suffering with both head and back trauma that plagued him the rest of his life. Fortunately, though, it did keep him off the beach that day. I'm not sure I would be here if he weren't injured then. Those injuries didn't keep him out of the war, though. After the war, Lou went back to college, but having spent so much of his time building and destroying bridges in the Army Corps of Engineers, he realized engineering was no longer his passion, and he became a psychologist. I suppose in some ways, this made him more valuable to the armed forces, as he was again drafted, this time as a retread, for the Korean War. He was inducted as a second lieutenant for the then newly formed U.S. Air Force Medical Corps. After being introduced by mutual friends in the summer of 1955, Lou and my mother Harriet were married. I came along a little over a year later. Now, growing up, my dad and I would watch many World War II films together. Some we saw in theaters, some we saw on TV. All of them we would watch together over and over. While watching those films with my dad, I would ask him questions. Questions about his service, about his experience in the war. Questions I didn't know you weren't supposed to ask. My dad, being a teacher and a psychologist, didn't discourage me. He knew they were innocent questions and used those times to teach me and tell me about his experiences, as much as he could anyway. I suppose he realized that talking to me about him having seen the elephant was good for both of us. He also taught me the etiquette about asking, so I'd have a better understanding of veterans. I think watching those films with my dad and him teaching me about the war helped give me the great respect for our military and the sacrifices they made and continue to make to this day in defending we civilians. Thinking back on that makes me think of the word hero and its definition. No, I'm not talking about the sandwich, something I also learned about from my dad in the Greatest Generation. I'm speaking of the men, and yes, based on societal norms of the time, most often men, who risk their own lives to save others. You see, heroes aren't sports figures or actors or singers. Celebrities aren't heroes, unless the heroism didn't come from their celebrity status. Heroes are the people doing their job, not thinking, or maybe at the time not caring about their own safety, when they act to save the lives of others. Most heroes aren't celebrities and don't look nor want that status. Heroes walk among us, though, and most often, we unfortunately don't know them. In truth, they probably wouldn't want to be known, as they don't think of themselves as heroes. Most would say, I was just doing my job. And to me, that's what makes them heroes. Now, although my father probably wasn't a hero to anyone but me, let me tell you what may be an apocryphal story about him. While I was growing up, he owned a 1914 32 ACP German Mauser handgun that he captured during the war. I asked him how he got it, and he explained that it was all a big mistake. You see, it was after VE Day, and Dad was still overseas. He was somewhere along the Belgium-Luxembourg-German border. Things were safe, and he was out at a local pub. Drunk as a skunk, he would say. He didn't know much German, but while overhearing a conversation at the next table, he was sure he strung together enough to know that a German colonel had not surrendered and was hiding out in a house in the local village. My drunken father dutifully went to report this to his commanding officer, who was not pleased. The CO could see my dad was drunk and knew he didn't speak any German. The commanding officer sent him to his barracks and ignored him. Not to be ignored, Lou stormed back to the duty office and insisted that they needed to go to the address he had and arrest this German colonel. This time my dad was sent back to his barracks, escorted by MPs, who stripped him to his skivvies and put him to bed. Still not thwarted, my father returned to his CO and insisted he go to arrest this colonel. The CO must have been some understanding kind of guy and didn't throw my drunken father in the brig, but took him and a couple of MPs to this house to prove there was no German colonel hiding out in this fully cleared area. They entered the house, and sure enough there was a German officer hiding out there. He was at the top of the stairs and drew his sidearm, a 1914 32 ACP German Mauser, and started firing down at my dad, the two MPs, and their CO. Lou, still being drunk, thought to himself, "Somebody has to get that gun," and went charging up the stairs to take it away. The German colonel, either stunned by this stupidity or out of ammunition, we'll never know, stopped shooting, and my father seized his weapon. Stupidity, drunkenness, heroism, maybe a bit of all of that. But when my dad, after telling the story in his joking, good-natured, and raconteurial manner, was asked why he didn't get a medal, he would say he was just lucky he didn't end up in the brig and lose his good conduct ribbon. You see, my father may have been a hero to me for various reasons, that being one of them. But it's not the prima facie basis of it. It does make me think of other heroes. There's a former U.S. Air Force pilot I know, who, among other duties during his service, was a flight instructor. He wasn't just any flight instructor, though. He would instruct many pilots about to wash out, and was usually able to get them back on track and into the sky, making real USAF pilots out of them. Then there's this former RAF pilot I know, who also, among other things during his service, would hear a klaxon alarm and hop into his F-4 Phantom II and run off to chase down and intercept Russian bear bombers. He'd show them we were ever ready and not going to be surprised by them. Through their service, both these pilots helped in keeping a Cold War from getting hot and creating the kind of heroes that most often come to mind when we think of Veterans or Remembrance Day. So as a civilian, with great respect for those who serve in our military, I want to extend my thanks to all of you who did and do serve there. Thanks for keeping us safe. Thanks for just doing your job. For Jetwine, here in Portland, Maine, this is your main man, Micah.